so we'll move on. The first item is Code of Practice Access to Council Meetings and Documents. And you'll see that the legal instruments have been really extensively set out there, the Government Gazette extract. And I don't think there's too much to argue about in that. You'll find on pages 23 to 25 all of the underlined new bits and pieces, which are about being able to, about access to meetings, given that there'll be live streaming, etc., the usual confidential rules apply. Does anyone have any questions of Kate or anyone? Then look for someone to move the motion. Moved as printed, Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Masika. Anything to add, Councillors Schilling, Masika? No? Straightforward. Then I'll put that, all those in favour, raise your hand physically. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we get on to procedures at council meetings. And here there is a question. There are a couple of new clauses in the meeting procedures, particularly in relation to, there's a minor one about dividing on amendments, and it hasn't been our practice for many years, if not forever, that we don't have divisions on amendments, only on the final motion. So that's really just spelling it out. But more significantly, on pages 50, 51, we've got attendance at council meetings electronically. That's all the stuff that we're doing now. It says that it lasts until 28 days after the emergency is over, basically. And I can't see anything really controversial in that. The new clause 22 on page 48, equally, that's about committee meetings doing the same thing. It's what we've discussed, what we've practiced. That's all uncontroversial. The new clauses 20 and 21, potentially controversial. So I'd invite members to pay close attention to those clauses, page 47. And perhaps I could ask Kate to begin with about where the material was drawn from. I understand that there was elected member discussion last year about clarifying some elements to do with disruptive behaviour, etc. But where did the ideas, where did the language come from, Kate?
I may have to refer to Jamie because these ones were drafted by Jamie. However, we did do some research with other councils to see how they were dealing with members of the public particularly, which is, I'm assuming that's what this clause is.
Well, as far as I'm aware, I thought disruptive behaviour referred to... Either members of the public or elected members.
I'm just getting my bearings of where we're at. So Regulation 29 is disruption of the meeting by members, and then Regulation 30 is interruption of the meeting by others, which is other people present within the meeting. This section here, I believe, relates to other people and the process of what you have to undertake to be able to enact that Regulation 30. Jamie, is that correct?
Yes, that was more hat and the process that we follow in order to follow it through.
Well, because it immediately follows, there's 18 interruption by members, 19 interruption by others. If it's the intention, then should it be called disruptive behaviour by members of public? I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, is there any good reason why it shouldn't be called that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because as it reads, it could be applied to members as well, which members may not like.
Yep.
And then the only one which I questioned, and maybe this has been drawn from another council, is 20.2.11, that it's considered disruptive, erratic or otherwise odd or unusual behaviour. I mean, half the council would be thrown out if that was applied. But we're talking about members of the public, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, look, if there's anything in there that members want to remove, we can certainly do that.
I mean, that's the only, I mean, the other stuff you can see if people are drinking in the gallery or they're intimidating or threatening or whatever, but, or even making noise, but unusual behaviour, I mean, is the presiding member meant to say, excuse me, you're in the back row, you're behaving a bit unusually, cut that out? I mean, I don't know. What do members, just before we get into, or maybe we should move a motion then discuss it. But first of all, do any members have any other questions or any other clarification? No? Don't think so.
I've got my hand up.
I'm hearing something, but I'm not sure who it is. That's the difficulty doing this electronically.
Well, I've got my hand up, Chris.
Oh, okay. I could not see your hand up. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, electronically it's up. That's
really? I cannot see it. Now, is that because I'm not a host or what? Sorry, technical question.
You just need to click on the participants bar, Chris.
What, permanently?
Leave it at the side. I can see his hand.
Okay, if I click on panelists, okay, I can see it. But it's not really satisfactory because I can't see them all at once. So I'm going to need assistance from Kate or someone on that because now I can actually see Bruce's hand, oddly enough, but I couldn't before. Bruce, I am sorry about that. Please go ahead with your question.
I was reluctant to chip in because I didn't want to disrupt the meeting. I have a couple of issues that are peripheral to this. Recently, staff members took photos of members of the public attending a meeting. Now, we don't have any policy on that, and I raised concern with the CEO about it. And I was told they were going to form a policy. I thought this is the opportunity now. Still there, Chris?
Oh, yes.
There's nothing in here about taking photos of the public. Now, this policy could be quite simple, just putting signs up alerting members of the public that this may happen, or at the beginning of the meeting, somebody would alert members of the public that photos are being taken of them, just so we're not standing up on them.
All right, let's hear a response from staff on that. Otherwise, that's potentially an amendment or something that needs to be further discussed. Kate, do you want to respond or Jamie?
Yes, I'm happy to respond. So page 32 of the agenda, section 7.1, the second paragraph there, council employees may take visual footage, including photographs for the purposes of council business. Elected members must seek and obtain approval from the presiding member and permissions of all people included in the footage before taking visual footage, including photographs. So that was the clause that we popped in, but I'm happy to take feedback from members if that's not adequate.
So that specifies that employees may take photographs for the purpose of council business. Now, Councillor Hull, I invite you to come up with an amendment if you want something different on that point, if you want to deal with it this meeting.
If the public are going to be advised as stated by Kate, that's fine. But maybe we should put signs up as well. That would be the only extra input I would put into that.
Well, if you wanted to move an amendment, you could add to the end of that sentence, after first informing those photographed that it is about to occur or something to that effect. I'm not recommending it, but I'm just helping you with an amendment if that's the way you want to go.
It's an informed consent, really. In other words, members of the public attending the meeting knowing that that is a possibility. And I think putting signs up is the way of dealing with it.
All right. Have a think about the wording of an amendment. And in the debate, you can put that forward. I will now go to Ian with any pre-debate questions.
So my question is just around that. It reads as if members of the public need permission from the presiding member, elected members need permission from the presiding member, but any council staff don't. And isn't it a public place? I mean, I don't know where we prevent people from filming in a public place or whether we have different rules in a meeting if they're not actually disturbing the meeting.
Certainly they do have those rules in Parliament, but I'll go to Kate. Do you want to respond?
Yes, I guess where this was coming from was if members of the public wanted to film that they do, or an elected member, is that they do seek permission first, so we are aware of it. I guess what we were trying to prevent was people obviously filming a council meeting and then uploading it to certain social media streams and us not having any control over it. When we have allowed filming in the chamber before, it is usually via a media outlet for the purposes of news rather than for social media specifically. So that was where this was really coming from. The circumstance where Bruce was talking about before, we had discussed that with the presiding member before anyway, so it wasn't something that just happened off the cuff.
Yeah, okay, so two responses. In response to the filming of the public, Bruce's point is about the public being alerted to the fact that it's going to happen. In relation to Ian's question, I wanted to add that if there is uninhibited filming by the public, then bear in mind that it will be possible to read the screens potentially of certain of the members who face with their backs to the gallery. So if they have emails that they're checking or they have some notes about a confidential item, whatever, potentially that's on view to the public out of range of normal eyesight. But if you're able to film, then you can enlarge. So I'm just thinking that the permission business gives the right to say, well, if you're standing by the door with a camera on a tripod, then you can film, or something like you have some control over it, I suppose. I think that's how I interpret Kate's remarks. But Ian, does that help you at all?
Yeah, it does. I just wonder where it wouldn't be easier just to say there is no recording, audio, visual, whatever you want, without the prior permission of the presiding member, and that applies for everyone.
That might be a neater way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's before the meeting, during the meeting, I'm guessing staff would normally seek approval anyway.
Not a bad idea to say prior to the meeting. But on the other hand, if there was a security issue in the gallery, it might be appropriate to commence filming, with minimal notice. If there was a crime, for example. So it's not an easy one. Do we leave that out for the moment and leave it for the next set of amendments? Since there are a couple of questions about it. Or can we fix it up on the run? But I'm always loath to do that, even more so in an electronic setting.
Well, Chris, if I may.
Yes.
There is a speaker.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Ian mentioned it earlier that it's a public place, and I don't think we've got any control over people photographing or videoing. I don't think we really want to stop it. But I think some signage to indicate that it can happen, being a public place, that this is a public place, is quite reasonable, so there's no surprises. But trying to actually attempt to even be seen to attempt to be blocking recordings of public council meetings, I'm a bit uncomfortable with that.
All right.
Can I just maybe respond to that? We do publicly record, obviously, all of the audio from our meetings, but in our meeting procedures, we say in there that we will not provide the we don't video them. We only provide the audio is what's recorded. So I guess that's kind of where we were coming from to keep some consistency there.
Jason, go ahead.
Thank you. The thing is, we do allow people to hear what's going on that is recorded. I don't think that, I don't think it's appropriate for the public to be filming unless they have a good reason and they ask for permission beforehand. I was curious also as to why photos were taken, what instances were the staff taking photos, and that's really it. So, I would be more comfortable. They can hear what's going on. But I guess also the other thing is then, it's a public place, but do we want a panoptic situation? Everything we do is, captured and every time we're...
Kate, the question about the occasion when there was filming?
Yes. So on the occasion in question, what we didn't have previously is obviously the details of how we would manage a disruption of the meeting by other people. So we had discussed this previously as the group that had been there before that were there on that particular night had been vocal within the meeting, and we wanted to have a record of who was there in case we needed to enact Regulation 30 in any way. At the time of that meeting, there was no issues and the photos were deleted directly after the meeting, but that was why we had it. So we did have a record of who was actually there in case we needed to enact that Regulation 30. By adding in this extra part that we've now got in the meeting procedures, it actually gives us now a proper procedure of how we would actually deal with that.
All right. I noticed that Councillor Hutchinson has left the meeting. Ian Crossnam, go ahead.
Thanks, Chris. From experience, when you start getting a mobile phone out or start taking pictures of members of the public, that can actually cause the aggravation and, really probably escalate what might be a minor disruption. I get what everyone else is saying. I just wondered, why is that whole room not under just general CCTV, put signage that, events in this room are being monitored by CCTV, monitors your paintings should anyone steal them or damage, and you only have to access that CCTV if there's a disturbance or some criminal offence or regulatory offence in there. And everyone will just forget it's even recording. But just as Councillor Hall said, it would be appropriate to put signage to say that CCTV is recording in that room.
Right. So we're left with some suggestions. I don't know that we can fix unless staff are ready with some alternative wording. I think we just have to leave that out and come back next time to sort it out.
Yes. I mean, if members are happy to progress then with removing that clause 1.7, and then we'd readjust the numbering, then we can do that.
I think that's what we have to do, and it's a classic case of where if members have concerns which might lead to an amendment, to raise them before the meeting, and then we can deal with those concerns. But it's really a bad idea, especially something like this, to try and just make up the wording on the run, unless it's very simple. Can I draw members' attention to disruptive behaviour? If people are happy to move the motion with disruptive behaviour by members of the public, that clarifies, I think, that clause. whoever's moving may want to take out the bit about odd and unusual behaviour. Let's also consider clause 21, new clause dealing with disruptive behaviours. And it's sort of a long clause about calling the police, and if there's a disturbance, adjourning the meeting and talking to the person concerned, and you know, then either continuing the meeting or calling the police or whatever. I presume this is all stuff that we could do anyway. Probably stuff that we would do anyway, depending on the occasion. So, Kate, can you just perhaps give us a bit of context for that one?
Yeah, this is just really highlighting what the procedure would be of if you needed to enact it.
It also means that if there is a procedure, you have to stick to it, I guess. All right, any other questions? I notice that Councillor Gard's not in the meeting. Is the minute taker keeping track of these things?
He's back.
Yes, I'm trying to, yes.
Councillor Gard's in the meeting, that's good. All right, can someone then move with that adjustment to we're taking out the change to clause 7, we're adding or extending the title of clause 20, disruptive behaviour by members of the public, and I guess any other changes you want. Who would like to move? Councillor Masika, thank you. Did you want to speak to that? Just unmute yourself if you do.
Thanks. I don't think whether I'm not going to add another information. I think you have said it perfectly well.
All right, thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Schilling, thank you. Nothing to add? Then I'll. Is there anyone speaking against or amending? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. All right. We'll go to the informal gatherings policy. And Kate, can I ask with this one, I think it's basically what we had, except it's got the electronic part added. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right. Any questions from members or someone like to move?
Well, Chris,
there's a question from Councillor Hull. But Councillor Hull, what we're doing, everyone is muting their microphones and then indicating to the chair that they would like to speak, and then they're called upon to unmute, because it's all right while one person's calling out, but it won't work if several people are calling out. So anyway, go ahead. You've got the call. No worries.
Okay. I'll be mindful of that. Sorry. And just going forward in terms of how this all rolls out, I thought we were told if we're going to vote, we've got to electronically raise our hand. So that's changed.
Well, I had a go without it, and I thought I could see everybody's hand. Councillor Hull, can you clarify? Did you vote in the affirmative last time?
I did put my hand up physically.
I sort of caught all of that physically, but I've got to say it is very difficult, bearing in mind that I'm looking at a number of boxes with staff as well. It's very hard to actually indicate or to see. So we probably should go back to that, but maybe with the less controversial ones, I might just ask for a show of hands physically. So we'll keep... I'm keeping it a bit flexible, Councillor Hull. It's a fair question, but we'll carry on.
Yep. Look, just the enduring question I have about confidential items at these informal gatherings, how they're recorded, because, you know, it can be taken on notice again, if you like, but it concerns me that items are considered confidential, but there's no enduring record of that or opportunity for those items to be reviewed.
Thank you. Now, with electronic meetings, it's going to be a bit different because we technologically have to have more of a distinction between items which are confidential and those which aren't. Ms. Thwaites, can you add to that?
So yes, each week also we have to publish on our website the informal gatherings register for the upcoming week, and the informal gatherings register declares on that which items are confidential and which items aren't. That's in accordance with the policy that they need to be declared before the meeting.
So Ms. Thwaites, what happens, and it does occasionally happen, not all that often, but if we're discussing a matter and suddenly a confidential matter is raised or called into question, what are we going to do, or how are we going to approach that, and especially in the time of the virus?
Depending on what the matter is, you would need to be outlining why the matter was confidential then at that time. Members can still disagree, I guess, with the confidentiality of it, because the intent of the informal gatherings policy is that these items should be declared beforehand. But obviously there's certain circumstances where that's not possible.
So is part of the remedy here, because I mean Councillor Hull keeps coming up with this point, is part of the remedy that after the event, Councillor Hull could move a motion in General Council declaring that such and such a discussion or topic in the informal gathering is not being held in confidence? Is that the answer?
Potentially, yes. He could seek for anything to be recorded in the minutes with the leave of the meeting. So provided the meeting agreed, that could then be minuted in the General Council meeting minutes.
All right. Well, that might be enough for you to go on with. What have you got?
There's also the lack of review opportunity with this, Chris. Like every December, the opportunity is to review confidential items. Given that there's no list that comes back to us for review, confidential items can be there for forever.
I guess my point is that your best remedy that I can see, subject to staff advice, is for you to come back to the next General Council meeting with a motion that the discussion on such and such a topic at the informal gathering on such and such a date shall not be considered confidential. And then it's tested by the council. That is, mind you, that's retrospective. You might want a prospective, but I can't see a way of working that. So I think we'll just have to leave the topic there. You can take it up between meetings if you wish. Councillor Vlescu.
I think sometimes the discussion that we do have confidentially leads to a report, leads to something public. And I think, you know, possibly the information, what we're doing, what's going on, would be captured in that. And I'd just be a little bit low that the whole brainstorming situation, which we do on our planning days, if someone mentions something, you know, whether it's an idea, then that may not progress to anything. Is that something that, you know, necessarily needs to be out there for everyone? And will they then not mention anything because nothing, you know, in those brainstorming sessions, that they wouldn't want that in perpetuity?
Thank you, Councillor Vlescu. Well, that indeed is the point of the confidentiality exemption in the Local Government Act, which is about strategy and planning. It's so that you can have those brainstorming ideas without necessarily being quoted or getting into the media with an idea that's not even half-baked, not even quarter-baked. So there is an appropriate legislated exemption for those sort of discussions, and which is what we do, which is what we do on planning day and so forth. But I'm saying that view of a meeting can always be challenged retrospectively at a following General Council meeting, and that's the opportunity I'm giving members if they want to grapple with that problem. I think we should get on with it. So does anyone want to move that we adopt this policy as amended? Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak to that? No. Councillor Vlescu seconded. Did you wish to speak to that? No. Any other contributions, then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand physically. I don't see anyone against. So that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we move on to the cover page for page 64. And I understand that if this motion is carried, that we go into confidence for this first item, then we will cease the webinar style and go into a closed meeting, because on the agenda, all of the remaining items are tentatively confidential. Now, it's a bit tricky, and we're doing this, of course, working with the technology at the same time. But there was one of the reports where I thought that the confidentiality was perhaps more dubious than others, and that was the confirmation of the confidential minutes of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee meeting. Now, look, I'm jumping ahead, people, but I think we have to grapple with this because of the technological constraints and the fact that we're operating under two different meetings. So if you look at, I've got it on page 68 of my agenda, a cover report. No, sorry, that's not the one. Can someone help me which page?
Yep. Sorry, page 66. Strategy.
66. Right. So if you look at those minutes to the committee, I just, perhaps I could ask Kate to begin with about the justification for confidentiality. Is it that sort of planning and general exemption or what?
Yes, so they've used in this one, sorry, I'm just looking at what they put in, what's been put in the agenda. So yeah, 3B, which is the commercial grounds. But we did have a quick skim of the minutes prior to the meeting, and Jamie and I thought that this one was one that we could probably do in public. Ilya, I don't know whether you have any view on that, because this was to do with the impacts and the recovery for COVID-19.
Mr. Huidas, unmute.
Muting and re-videoing. Thank you, Chair. I was just trying to bring them up just to review any particular comments. I think at the point in time, we were just referring to any proposals within economic recovery that may in and of themselves have commercial components should they proceed. I haven't had a rescan of those minutes to see, and my recollection of the discussions were that we really didn't have anything of that nature. They were largely items that were in the forward program for our consideration. So I don't see there being anything that topical in those minutes.
No. So what I propose to do, members, if by leave of the meeting, could we bring the confirmation of those minutes forward now? The reason I'm going through all of this process is because as much as anyone, I don't want anything in confidence that doesn't need to be. I'm quite happy to advocate for confidentiality when there's a good reason, but I don't think it's been established here. So any member can in fact move that we go into confidence, but it won't necessarily be carried. Now, the question I put to the group was, is there leave of the meeting for this item to be dealt with next on the agenda? Councillor Hull, you have a point. What did you want to say?
I agree that the Infrastructure Committee minutes should not be confidential. The entire committee meeting was run in public. And
right, well, okay, that you can just save that for a moment for the debate when we get there. Just follow the, thank you, we'll follow the procedure. Does anyone object to us dealing with this matter next? No, then I take it that I have leave of the meeting, so I call on this matter. If anyone has a question or if anyone wants to move confidentiality, they may do so. We'll go from there. Start off with any questions. Councillor Crossland, did you had your hand up? No, you're okay. Councillor Valescu, question?
I'm just curious if there is anything perhaps that could be redacted that is potentially an issue, and then we can have the rest of the minutes available. But if the whole thing is not a risk, then yeah, that's good to know as well.
I can't see it, to be honest, and I think that's what Ms. McKenzie was saying a moment ago. So would someone, I'm after someone to either move the recommendation that's printed about receiving and noting the minutes, separate reports will come for any items for action, or if somebody is minded to, they can move confidentiality. So who would like to proceed?
Chris,
I'm not going to take just calling out. I saw Councillor Telfer's hand up, so go ahead, Councillor Telfer.
Hands up.
I move that these are in public, that we deal with these in public. So I move the report. I've read it through. I can't see anything that's dubious.
Right, thank you. Is that seconded? Right, go to you, Councillor Hull. And by the way, please don't have the effrontery to think that just because your hand is up, you need to be called on first. I saw another member's hand up and I called on them and they moved the motion, but you're quite welcome to contribute. Do you want to second the motion?
No affront taken. I simply had my hand up and you told me my hand wasn't up, and I don't know what else I can do. I can't put both hands up.
Go ahead. Do you want to second the motion?
I want to raise concern about the SWARA minutes being confidential. There's nothing in...
Hang on a minute. Oh, I see what you mean. But can we deal with one issue at a time?
Aren't we doing with this on block? Are we?
No, we're not. There's no talk of on block whatsoever. We're dealing with the Councillor Telfer has moved that the minutes of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee meeting be received and noted, and any further reports for action be brought to Council.
Happy to second it. Thank you.
Rightio. Any other discussion or comment? Put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously that I can see on the physical hands. No one against? No. Right. Now, from the Chair's point of view, I can see reasons for confidentiality with the remaining items, but Councillor Hull, before we go into confidence with any matters, you've raised that there's another matter, that the SWARA report, page 75, I've got listed on my agenda. You want to put an argument that it shouldn't be confidential?
Yes, I do.
I tell you what, let me just note that for the moment, because when we get to it, we will have a vote on going into confidence. If that vote is not carried, we will bump the agenda item into the public and open meeting tomorrow. Ms. McKenzie and I have discussed that that's kind of a, rather than jumping backwards and forwards with confidentiality, which we can do in the physical meetings as we have in the past, we can't do that. We have to do black and white, one group or the other, not voting on block, but dealing with items as a group. So if any of the following confidentiality motions fail, then the item will be dealt with openly on tomorrow night's agenda. It'll just be bumped to tomorrow, and we'll do a procedural motion to achieve that. So, Councillor Hull, your remarks are noted, but I think we can resume to the order we had. So on page 64, we've got the first proposal to go into confidence. It's in relation to confidential minutes of the Review and Selection Committee special meeting, two special meetings concerning the selection of assessment panel members. Obviously, these matters do concern the personal affairs of applicants, etc. So would someone like to move that we go into confidence in relation to that? Councillor Hull so moves. Seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Anyone against? Councillor Telfer, you're in favour of the confidentiality. I just invite you to speak by unmuting. So just on, I'm just clarifying
in
your
both
vote, Councillor.
Of those, in both of the review and selection committee items that come up, the only thing that stops the the public is the name of the unsuccessful candidate, one name. So I would, in speaking against confidentiality, hope that we can redact just that one name in both those reports, because the others obviously had to be viewed to be successful, and they are listed in the next motion as being successful, which will be out in the public. So with the redaction of one name, both of those can be in the public.
Well, I was clarifying. I suppose I've called on the vote before giving the opportunity to speak against. So I'm going to take the vote, not take it again, but I'm going to go back to the debate. We had a mover, Councillor Hull, and a seconder, Councillor Crossland, and I've had you speaking against. And I interpret that to be that you're against the confidentiality in relation to the item, but if you are successful, then you would move that the minutes be in the open except for a redaction in relation to names of candidates. Is that a fair way forward? Councillor Telfer?
Yes, either the names of candidates or the unsuccessful candidate, because the other three are going to be in the public anyway in the meeting. So it's only the unsuccessful candidate that needs to be redacted.
Well, there's a problem with that, Councillor, and that is that until we've confirmed who the successful candidates are as a general meeting, they're not confirmed at all.
Okay.
So you may end up revealing the name of somebody who ends up not being appointed.
True. All right. In speaking of it, then I would say that it could be in the open except for the names of the applicants, which would be redacted.
Okay. You are speaking against the motion, which has been moved and seconded. You're against the motion as it is, which is for confidentiality of the item. Is there anyone else speaking in favour? Then, Councillor Hull, as mover, did you wish to reply?
No, thanks, Mr. Chair.
All right, I'll put it to the vote, and this is the vote to have this item dealt with confidentially. That means the entire item. All those in favour? All those against? So it's carried by majority. So now we deal with the actual minutes themselves.
Okay, sorry, Chris, Mehana, just to interrupt. This is where we'll need to conclude the webinar. So what we're asking members is that we will conclude this meeting and then start a further Zoom meeting with the other link that was sent to ensure that the meeting is locked down appropriately.
Thank you. So I will declare the open